I want to put this case before you that a change in how you see Jesus will lead to a change in how you see others and a change in how you see yourself.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, there may be many people listening today who, when they think of themselves, they don't like the image that comes to mind. They don't like what they see. So how does a change in how you see Jesus impact how we see ourselves?
Well, we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Steve, where we read that we no longer regard Jesus according to the flesh. And then the next thing that the Apostle Paul says is we now regard no one according to the flesh. So what he's saying is that there is a way of viewing ourselves and of viewing other people that can change radically. And when it changes is when we come to a whole new view of Jesus Christ, not just as another person in history, but as the unique Lord and Savior and Master. You come to that knowledge, it's going to change how you view yourself, and it's going to change how we view other people. Really important subject that we're looking at today.
And as Pastor Colin just said, we see it in 2 Corinthians 5. So join us there as we continue a message entitled, A New Perspective. Here's Pastor Colin.
I want to put this case before you that a change in how you see Jesus will lead to a change in how you see others and a change in how you see yourself. That is the thrust of these verses that are before us as we follow what the Apostle Paul is saying. A change in how you see Jesus will lead to a change in how you see others and a change in how you see yourself. And this is wonderfully liberating for all who are in Christ. Let me build that case then in these three steps and start here. A change in how you see Jesus. This is where it begins. Look at verse 16. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Now you see what Paul is saying? He's talking about the way in which he viewed Jesus, the opinion he formed about Jesus. And he's saying, the opinion that I had of Jesus was formed entirely by what he was according to the flesh. A Jewish man born into a poor family, raised in an obscure village, a carpenter by trade, of unusual ability in leading others, who hung out with sometimes embarrassing friends and died early in life without owning more than the robe for which the soldiers gambled while he hung on the cross. That was my opinion of Jesus. And all of these people worshipping him, therefore, was the most offensive thing imaginable to me. That's what Paul is saying. Now, as you read the Gospels, there are actually multiple examples of people who dismissed Jesus because they regarded him according to the flesh. And because people still do this today, I want just to take a moment to show you this. Let me give you some examples. In John chapter 6 and verse 42, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He's been saying, I'm the bread of life that came down from heaven. That the crowd don't like what he's saying. They begin to grumble, and here's what they said. Is this not Jesus, the son of Mary and Joseph, whose father and mother we know? So you go down your 10 factors of what shapes us according to the flesh, and they're dismissing Jesus. Why? On the basis of his family of origin, they're saying. We know his parents. So how can he possibly be the bread of life? So they completely dismiss him on the basis of family. Matthew chapter 13. When Jesus comes into his hometown of Nazareth, and they listen to him speak, the scripture says, Matthew 13 and verse 55, is this not the carpenter's son? Now you go down your list of 10, what are they doing there? They're dismissing Jesus because they view him according to the flesh, and they've got him tagged, why? By his job. He's a carpenter's son. He follows in the line of the carpenter. That's what he does. How can these things that he's been saying be true when he's simply a carpenter? Mark chapter 2 and verse 16. Here are all these people rejecting Jesus, dismissing him. Why? Because they only view him according to the flesh. The Pharisees see the company that he's keeping. And they ask this question of the disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? And the Pharisees are dismissing Jesus. Why? Because they are judging him according to the flesh. And in particular, they have come to this conclusion because they've looked at the friends he is keeping. He's in that circle of people there, so he cannot possibly be the Messiah. Let me add this one, because there are so many. John chapter 7 and verse 41, when the Pharisees are debating the claims of Jesus, and one of them says, can the Christ come from Galilee? Well, you see, that's the location of the home. And they're dismissing Jesus on the basis of judging him according to the flesh. And then you remember Pilate, and he puts up the sign above Jesus on the cross. And Pilate has dismissed Jesus because he regards him according to the flesh. He does not see him as the Son of God. And so he puts up the sign, and what is it? This Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And there's a racial slur there without doubt, which is why the Jews, the Bible says, came back and said, can you change what you've written? Pilate says, what I have written, I have written. It's a racial slur. Here's the best of them, the King of the Jews. So all through the Gospels, you have clear examples of people who dismissed Jesus because they regarded him according to the flesh. They formed an opinion of him based on family, based on work, based on home location, based on race. And the Apostle Paul says in the verse that's before us today, that's what I was, regarding Jesus according to the flesh. Now, how did that change? The answer, of course, is the resurrection. And it changed for the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus when the risen Lord Jesus appeared to him. Saul, Saul, I am Jesus who you persecute. And he sees the risen Lord. And from that moment, he cannot possibly write off Jesus as a misguided Jew who died on the cross. Friends, for those of you who are struggling with whether you should really come to a commitment of faith in Jesus Christ, let me try and make this very simple for you today. Either Jesus Christ is the sovereign risen Lord, who by virtue of who he is and what he did in his birth, life, death, and resurrection, either he's the sovereign Lord who by virtue of who he is and what he has done lays claim to your life and to every life, or Christianity should be thrown out completely. If Jesus Christ truly is raised from the dead, he is in a category of one as the unique sovereign Lord. If Jesus rose from the dead, for you to push him away is the height of madness. And if he's not the reigning Lord, why are you even tinkering with Christianity? What would be the point? Now, you see, this is the great transformation that has come in the mind of the Apostle Paul. He had come to the conclusion that Christianity should be rejected completely because he judged Jesus according to the flesh. That's why he persecuted the church. That's why he set out to destroy it. Why? Because he regarded Jesus according to the flesh, and as long as he did that, the idea of one man laying claim to the lives and the loyalty of all others seemed to him to be completely and utterly preposterous. And of course, there are many who've come to that conclusion today. How can you say that Jesus is the only person by whom we can come to God? How can you say that Jesus can claim to be first in your life and first in every person's life? Isn't that preposterous? Well, it would be if you regarded Jesus according to the flesh. But you see, when Paul is confronted by the risen Lord, he finds himself offering his own life into the hands of the one he had previously despised. And that's why he says, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. And I want you to notice the significance of the word we here. It's not I, it's we. He includes himself because this great transformation in his view about Jesus has happened in his own life, but it's not limited to him as a person who directly saw the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what he's saying is that this is the core truth about every person who really is a Christian. That a Christian is a person who has come to a new opinion about Jesus on the basis of the resurrection. We no longer regard him as a figure of history according to the flesh. We see much more than that. We've come to worship him as the risen Lord, as the sovereign King, as the gracious Redeemer, as God with us and God for us. Now that's at the core. To put it in the New Testament question, what do you think of Jesus Christ? Because what he claims and how he is presented in the Bible to you is this, that he is the sovereign Lord who lays claim to your life and to every life. And that to fight against him is a battle you can never, never, never win.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called A New Perspective. It's part of a series called Don't Lose Heart, taken from our look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And if you missed any of the broadcasts in our series, you can listen online at openthebible.org, or you can order a copy of this entire series on CD. Ask about Don't Lose Heart when you call 1-877-OPEN-365, or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Here's the application that Paul is making. A change in how you see Jesus will lead to a change in how you see others. We no longer regard Jesus according to the flesh. And from now on, verse 16, therefore we regard no one according to the flesh. Friends, here's something that is beautiful and unique to the body of Christ. The things that make us different according to the flesh are overwhelmed by the new life that is enjoyed by those who are in Jesus Christ. In the flesh, our life was living for ourselves, and so it's all about which group is going to gain precedence in the endless struggle that revolves around the 10 factors that differentiate us, make us different. But in the body of Christ, where new life has come through Jesus Christ, these things that make us different are simply overwhelmed by what now binds us together in our new life that is received from him and shared in him. That is why very wonderfully in Galatians in chapter 3, the apostle says this of those who are in Christ. He says, in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek. In Christ there is neither slave nor free. In Christ there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. That's something that's not possible in the world, because in the world, it's all about what we are in the flesh. But in the body, there is a new life that is about who we are in Jesus Christ. And that is why the church offers for all who are in Jesus Christ a wonderful possibility of pursuing a new community in which that which makes us different is overcome by that which makes us one. A community in which men and women of every race, people of every appearance and age, people of every background and experience, people from every trade and profession, every level of ability are brought together in one body in the Lord. Why? Because we've all been brought to peace with the same God through the blood of the same Savior, and we have submitted our very, very different lives to the authority of the same Lord. That's beautiful. And it's only possible when Christ is at the center and where Christ is exalted. That's why we want to be a church that is Christ exalting, because that's what's going to pull people together around Him. Exalt anything else, and what makes us different will be all that will be apparent. So change in how you see Jesus. No longer according to the flesh, but as the exalted and the risen Lord, leading directly to a change in how we regard and relate to one another. And lastly, a change in how you see Jesus will lead to a change in how you see others and a change in how you see yourself. Why? Because verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. That's true of every Christian. Being a new creation means very simply that there is more to you than what is in you according to the flesh. There is more to you than what is in you according to the flesh. You have been reconciled to God. You have been adopted into His family. You have an inheritance in heaven that can never spoil or fade. The Holy Spirit lives within you. Your little life, my little life, has been caught up into the eternal sweep of the great redeeming purpose of God. And so when you are tempted to lose heart because of what you are according to the flesh, take heart from who you are, Christian brother or sister, in Jesus Christ. And remember this when you become discouraged about issues relating to the flesh. There are natural gifts that may impress people who judge according to the flesh, but there are spiritual gifts that Christ gives that will make you really useful in life for Him. There is a natural beauty that may get a face on the cover of a magazine, but there is a spiritual beauty that brings pleasure to the heart of God. There is a natural strength that can come from developing your muscles, but there is a spiritual strength that God can give to bring you through the hardest of trials. There is a material wealth that will last only for a time, but there is a spiritual wealth that will last for an eternity. And if you have had experiences in the flesh that have broken your heart, remember this, that there are experiences of the love of Christ in the Spirit that are able to rebuild your soul. So from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Why? Because if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. So a change in how you see Jesus is going to lead to a change in how you see others. And as He's the sovereign Lord of your life, it's going to lead to a change in how you see yourself. So wrapping this up in these last moments, if you judge yourself according to the flesh, you'll either spend your life looking down on other people because you see yourself as superior, more gifted, and all this kind of thing, more successful. Or you will always be losing heart because you see that others have more gifts, more talents, more advantages in life and more opportunities than you do. And here is the wonderfully good news that Jesus Christ does not regard us according to the flesh. Aren't you thankful for that? Jesus Christ does not regard us according to the flesh. If Jesus Christ regarded us according to the flesh, who would be in heaven? All the ones who were in class X and possibly class G. And the rest of us in TH and K would not have a chance if Christ regarded us according to the flesh. Who would be in heaven if Christ regarded us according to the flesh? The super talented, God would take an interest in them. The super successful, the super rich perhaps, the super healthy. Thank God, Jesus Christ does not regard us according to the flesh. In fact, he says this, you, he says to the Pharisees, judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Of course, he doesn't mean that he's not the judge. The Bible tells us he is the judge. What he's saying here is, I don't judge as you do. You judge according to the flesh. I don't. I don't form an opinion about people and decide whether I'm going to take an interest in them on the basis of their appearance, their ability, their age, their friends, their race, their gender, their work, their home, their family, or their experience. What you are according to the flesh, friend, will not make Jesus more interested in you, and it cannot make Jesus less interested in you. He's not drawn to you because of these things, because of what you are in the flesh, and he certainly will not be kept from you because of what you are in the flesh. So our Jesus offers himself to every person of every race, of every ability, of every background, at every economic level, every kind of work, and he does it without partiality. And he offers himself as the living Savior and as the reigning Lord. And whatever you are according to the flesh, he is able to make of you a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, he, she is a new creation. So what matters most about you is not what you are in the flesh, in any one or even all of these 10 areas. But are you in Christ? And when you are in Christ and he is your risen Savior and your reigning Lord, then what he thinks of you, what he thinks of you, is the one thing and ultimately the only thing that really matters. Which is why a change in the way you see Jesus is going to lead to a change in the way you see others, and a change in the way that you see yourself, so that you will not lose heart.
What a great way to wrap up this teaching together. That challenge from Pastor Colin, that we need to look at Jesus correctly. And as we do, that leads to a change in how we see others and ourselves. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. Our message today is called A New Perspective, and it's part of a larger series from 2 Corinthians 5 called Don't Lose Heart. If you ever miss a broadcast in the series, you can listen online. Come to openthebible.org, and you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen if you have the Open the Bible app. That's free at your app store. That's a great way to listen on demand whenever it fits your schedule. So again, find the app for free at your app store, or come and listen online at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is able to be on this station, make the podcast, the app, and all the ministry tools available because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you a copy as our way of saying thanks of Phil Reichen's book, I Have My Doubts, How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. And Colin, what would you say this book is really about?
Well, it's about people in the Bible who had doubts. And, if someone listening has doubts, you've probably thought to yourself, well, I must be the only person who's ever had this kind of experience of doubting. Well, guess what? You are not alone. That in the Bible, there are many people who went through different kinds of doubt. And Phil Reichen has pulled out the stories of no less than 10 of them. And he tells in a compelling way the stories of people who have walked through doubt and a crisis of faith. And it's full of wisdom for the weary doubter. It really is a help and an encouragement for a person who's going through this dark valley. Not only will you discover how these characters in the Bible move through their doubts, but you'll see how God graciously dealt with each and every one of them, sustaining and restoring and reawakening their faith. Your doubt may be, in God's grace, the passage by which he brings you into a stronger faith than you've ever known before.
Well, we want to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you for financially supporting Open the Bible this month. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-673-6365. That's 1-877-OPEN-365 or openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
Fly Through the Bible is a short, simple, and shareable book that you can use with a friend, a neighbor, or a loved one who needs to know Jesus. It's also freely available online. Fly Through the Bible will introduce you to five people in the Old Testament, five events in the life of Jesus, and five gifts God gives to every believer. You could ask a friend to read Fly Through the Bible with you. The book has 15 chapters. You could read a chapter and meet together over coffee and discuss the questions. Fly Through the Bible is designed to help you open the Bible with others. It will give you a better grasp of the Bible story, and most of all, it will help you to grow in your love for Jesus Christ. For more information, visit openthebible.org/fly. That's openthebible.org/fly.